Bibles now, if you would please, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Oh, one thing I did forget to mention there at the very bottom of the bulletin is that we will not be having services Wednesday night. So please take note of that. No services on Wednesday night. John chapter 8, I want us to start reading in verse number 31. John 8, 31. Yes, sir, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, y'all hear that? Got a couple of cards somewhere. Where are they at right now? Got one back here. Are both of them with you? Okay. We got a couple of cards that are being passed around for people that are sick. So please try to sign that before you leave today. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen, sister, that's how I feel this morning. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's all bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We know this is the day you have made. And I pray you would help us to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I thank you for letting us be here this morning in church. Thank you for each one that's come. Lord, I thank you for our church family, for all that you've done for us and continue to do. And Lord, I pray that you would please be with all those within our church family and even beyond that are sick and struggling and going through all sorts of trials and tribulations, and those that need direction and guidance and wisdom, or that you'd take care of every need and every situation according to your will. And God, I pray you would help us now in this service. Please give me liberty that I might say exactly what you want said. Lord, please free our minds from distraction and hindrance, and help us to be able to focus our attention on the Word of God. Any decisions that need to be made, I pray they be made this morning and even in the days to come. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, this Wednesday is the 4th of July, which, by the way, is why we're not having service on Wednesday night, because it's the 4th of July. But that is the day when, as a nation, we celebrate our independence, a day when we are at least to remember and focus on the fact that we are, for the most part, a free country. And as I have expressed in days gone by, I want to say once again this morning that I am very, very thankful to live in the United States of America. I am very thankful to live in a free country. And I am just grateful that God gave me this privilege, because the fact is I had absolutely no say-so in where I was born. None of you had any say-so in where you were born. So the truth is, we could have been born anywhere, right? We could have been born in Russia in a communist country. We could have been born in some Muslim land somewhere. But God privileged us in allowing us to be born in a free country. throughout my life, almost 46 years, I have lived in freedom. And I thank God for that privilege. I thank God for the honor that it is to live in this country and call America my home. And I am very thankful for all of the people down through the years that have given their lives, those that have made sacrifices beyond anything I could ever possibly imagine, so that we could have the freedom that we have here today. I appreciate our military, the men and women that have gone off, and those gone off even now, and people that are spending their days and nights away from their families. We got soldiers on fields that have children that they've never even got to hold in their arms because they're off somewhere serving our country. I thank God for the men and women that are in our military. I really do, and I believe that they deserve the support of their country. That's what I believe. And just like I've told you before, shame on anybody that disrespects the military in the United States of America. And people that don't appreciate our flag and our freedom and our military and all that God's blessed us with, I wish, honestly, they'd just get on a boat and go somewhere else. That's what I wish. And just leave this country and not come back unless they're going to come here and support the freedoms that we have in this country. So I just appreciate where I live. I've never been in the military. I don't know that whole life, but within my chest, I can promise you, beats a heart that is patriotic. I love my country, and I thank God that I live in the United States of America. I mean that. But since Wednesday is the 4th, and it's a time when our minds are on freedom and independence, or at least that's where our minds are supposed to be, I thought it would be appropriate to preach a message this morning titled Free Indeed. Free Indeed. But in this message, I'm not really going to talk about living free as a citizen of a country. I'm going to talk about spiritual freedom, which I believe is far more important and valuable even than living free as a citizen of a country. Because if you're spiritually free, you are free irregardless of where you live and the conditions that you live in. You could live in a foreign land somewhere where you don't have freedom, where you are a literal servant and in bondage to some government or whatever the case might be. But if you're still spiritually free, then you have freedom. So this is something that is valuable in my mind far beyond living free within a country. But if you'll look here at John chapter 8 and verse 36, once again, you'll notice that is where I took the title for the message today. In that verse, Jesus says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." He doesn't say you'll be free. He says ye shall be free indeed is what he says. He adds that word in, the word indeed. And the word indeed, if you look up the definition, it means truly, it means genuinely, it means without doubt, without question. So when he says ye shall be free indeed, he says he means you will truly, genuinely, sincerely, without question, be free. And in the context, if you keep this verse in the context, you understand he's talking about spiritual freedom. He's talking about us living free from the bondage of sin. That's what he's talking about. Look back up in this passage here and notice in verse 31 and 32, especially verse 32, he talks about being free. And in response to that, some Jews say, "We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man." Which if you know the history of the Jewish nation, you know that that wasn't the truth. They had been in bondage to a whole lot of people down through the years. But they said, "We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And in response to their comment, which clearly shows they misunderstood totally what the Lord was talking about. And that was a very common thing. As you read through the Gospels, you see time and again where Jesus would say something, even times when he would speak to his disciples and they would completely misunderstand what he was saying. It'd go right over their head, no clue. And then the Lord would have to break it down a little bit more so they understood the truth he was trying to get them to understand. And when he hears what they say, we were never in bondage to any man. This is what he then says, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever," notice that word, whosoever. So this applies to anybody, right? It's whosoever. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, whatever the case. Whosoever, this is true for any individual, whosoever committeth sin is the what? Servant of sin. That's the context of verse number 36 where Jesus says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So clearly the context is spiritual freedom. He's talking about how we can truly, genuinely, without question, live in freedom from sin. The good news this morning, you want some good news? A lot of bad news in the world, amen. Some people say, "Well, I just don't ever hear any good news." I've had people make that statement. "I just don't ever hear any good news." All I can say is you must not ever go to church then. Because while there may be some negative preaching, there's also some positive preaching. And if you'll stay in church long enough, you know what you'll hear? You'll hear some good news. That's what you'll hear. If you came here this morning, obviously you did because I'm looking at you. I got some good news for you. Matter of fact, I got some real good news. I got what you call some great news to tell you this morning. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You can be free, and I'm talking about really free. Jesus said, "Free indeed." You can have real, genuine, lasting freedom in your life from the bondage of sin. That's good news, amen? That's real good news, but now, let me show you something here. Look at verse 36. He says, "If." Y'all see that word? That's a pretty important word there. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This shows me that liberty is conditional, right? It's not a guarantee, in other words. It is possible. It is there. You can have freedom. You don't have to live as a slave. You don't have to be in bondage to sin. You can be free, but it's not a guarantee unless certain conditions are met. There's certain things that have to be done in order for us to experience real spiritual liberty. And let me say, I believe that all of us struggle with sin. Amen? I believe all of us struggle with it. That's a given just simply because we all have a sin nature, and because we have a sin nature, we sin. But what I'm talking about is more specific. I mean, we all got some sin, maybe even sins that we struggle with. Or maybe we've gotten the victory now and it's something that we struggle with in the past. But I don't guess I've ever met anybody in my life that didn't at some point and at various times in their life struggle with being in bondage to some sin. But the wonderful news this morning is that if you want it, you can be free from whatever sin has you enslaved here today. If there is any sin, whether it's internal, and that's where a lot of the sin is, right? A lot of it's just it's down in here. But whether it's internal, external, it makes no difference. If it's something on the inside like lust or greed or covetousness or bitterness or unforgiveness, anger, hatred, wrath, all those things that plague a lot of us, If it's something down in here, or even if it's something on the outside, some external sin, whatever it is, the great news is you can have liberty. You can be free. But if you're going to have liberty, if you're going to live in freedom from that sin that's plaguing you this morning and holding you under its thumb, certain conditions have to be met. It's not a thing where it just happens. Let me ask you this, going back to what I was saying in the introduction about living in a free country. Did we get freedom by accident? It just happened? No. There were some battles that took place, right? Some sacrifices that had to be made. Some things had to be done in order for us to have this freedom. And the principle is the same spiritually. If there is some sin that has you under its thumb this morning and you've been struggling, maybe you've been struggling with it for years and years and years and just can't seem to shake free, I'm telling you, you're not going to get free from that by accident. It's not going to just happen in your life. You're not going to be able to just sit back and have this attitude, well, I'm just going to let God do it. Well, it is the Lord that'll do it, but we do have some personal responsibility in this situation. There's some conditions that have to be met. How can I have freedom? How can I have spiritual freedom? Let me give you three things here this morning that I see from this text. I'm going to tell you three things it takes for anybody to have spiritual freedom. Number one, let me say this. It takes the Son of God. It takes the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have spiritual freedom. If you look again at verse number 36, you'll notice Jesus says this. He says, if the, what? Son, talking about himself, the Son of God. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. How do you get real freedom? How do you get genuine freedom? How do you get set free from the bondage of sin where something doesn't enslave you to where you have to, you feel like you have that and do that, and you just find yourself day after day committing that same thing over and over and over? Anybody in here ever had that experience? Look, I know it's Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we all formal and traditional. We don't want anybody to admit or to know that we got issues. Look here. If it'll help you any, if it'll help ease you up a little bit, I'll tell you, I struggle with what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not some pious, self-righteous fellow that acts like I don't have any problems. There's things throughout my life that I have found myself doing time and time and time again and wanting freedom from that. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? That's reality. That's how it is. But look here. To get freedom from that, in verse 36, I see that we have to have the Son. So first of all, let me say this. If you're here today and you're lost, I'm going to start there, and then basically the rest of what I have to say is going to be for those of us that are saved. If you're here today and you're lost, at this particular point, you have no hope of real freedom in your life, real spiritual freedom. You have no hope. You might can find certain things out there that can give you some help temporarily, but the only way you can have real, genuine, true, lasting spiritual freedom is to have the Son of God as your Savior. So number one, if you're lost and you want spiritual freedom, you need to begin by accepting the Son as your Savior. That's the first step. But then for those of us that have done that, we've already accepted him. Number two, let me say to all the saved people in this building here today, if you want freedom from that sin, you have to abide in the Son. If you're lost, you got to accept the Son. If you're saved, you got to abide in the Son. Let me show you why I say that. Hold your place right here in John 8. We're going to come back. But I want you to go over to John chapter 15 with me for just a moment. John chapter 15. And I want you to notice a passage of Scripture here. John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, in verse number 1, These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He says about himself, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The true vine. Obviously, the Lord is making an analogy here. He's using something in the world to teach a spiritual principle, to teach a spiritual lesson. And he says, I am the true vine. Now, look on down, if you would, at verse number 4. He says, abide in me. He's talking to his disciples. Abide in me and I in you. Now, why would he say that? Well, he goes on to say, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Now, think about this for a moment. Real simple and basic. You take a vine or a fruit tree, but we'll say a vine. It has a main trunk, doesn't it? And that trunk, it could stretch out for a long ways. But there is somewhere where that thing goes into the ground, right? There is somewhere that vine goes into the ground, and there's roots. There's a root system that goes down into the ground where it gets the moisture that it needs and the nutrients that it needs to grow. But all along that vine, you have branches that come out from the main trunk of that vine, right? Now you have those branches, and the only way that those branches can live, the only way they can be productive, the only way they can be healthy, the only way they can be strong, the only way they can bear fruit, really the only way they can do anything is they've got to stay connected to the vine, right? When they get disconnected from the vine, they lose their source of everything. They are cut off from everything they need when they're disconnected. So Jesus says this. He says, I'm the true vine. And he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. All the fruit that you see on a vine, whether it's a grapevine, scuffnings, whatever, that branch that holds that fruit did not produce that of itself, right? It got it from the vine is where it got it. Didn't come from itself. It got it from the vine. And then he says this, verse 4, look at it. No more can you. He says, just like those branches cannot bear fruit of themselves unless they abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Here he is, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He breaks it right on down. He said in verse 1, I'm the true vine. Then he says here in verse 5, you, my disciples, you're the branches. You know what he's letting us know? He's our source of everything. He's our source of everything. For us to be healthy, alive, strong, fruitful, we get it all from him. Amen. We can't do anything of ourselves. Without him, we can do nothing. Look at what he says right here, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing, is what he says. Now, he's talking to his disciples. So what I'm learning here, he's my source of everything. And without him, I can't do anything, right? Without me, ye can do nothing, is what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. So what I know is this. I have to abide as a disciple. I have to abide in him if I expect to be able to do anything in my life. And what that means from a practical perspective here is that we stay connected to the Lord. That we don't let anything disconnect us from him. Nothing get in the way between us and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to where we're disconnected from him and no longer abiding in him. Because when that happens, when I get disconnected from him for any reason, I can't do anything. Y'all understand that? And this is why you really have to be careful. Because here's what the devil is good at. One of the many things he's good at is slipping people counterfeits. He's really good at that. He slips people things that looks like something real on the surface, but underneath it's not real at all. And that's how he suckers a lot of people in, these counterfeits. And he'll come along, somebody struggling with something, some problem, some sin, trying to get victory over that, been struggling with it a long time, and he'll slip them a counterfeit. And he'll get them disconnected. See, the thing about being disconnected, I think our mind goes in this direction. We think disconnected means I just get out of church and I get away from the Bible altogether and I get out in the world just living in sin. Well, obviously, if you do that, you get disconnected. But look, you can sit on a church pew every Sunday and be disconnected from the Lord. All it takes to be disconnected is for you to turn your focus away from the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of everything you need, and put your trust in something other than Him. That's all it takes. And that's what the devil will do. He'll come along and slip you a counterfeit. He'll give you some kind of worldly solution for a spiritual problem. And let me say this to you right now. No spiritual problem has ever been solved with a worldly solution. Doesn't happen that way. But he'll come along, he'll get you in a program somewhere, some psychologist and all this other stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying all that's bad, but I'm telling you what you got to watch out for is the devil slipping you a counterfeit and getting you in something worldly and taking your focus and attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're trusting in something in this world, some worldly person, some worldly philosophy, some worldly plan or program to give you liberty. And as long as you'll stay in that, the devil will let you stay in that. Because he knows in that stuff there is no real liberty. Spiritual freedom comes from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, you got to abide in him. Don't let the devil or anything disconnect you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your focus, your faith, your fellowship where it needs to be with him, and you can have spiritual freedom. But now let's go back to John chapter 8. I want to give you a couple other things. I got to hurry on. Not only must we have the Son of God to have spiritual freedom, but number two, we have to have the Scripture to have freedom. Look in John chapter 8 and verse number 32. What does Jesus say in verse 32? He says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Isn't that what he said? Ye shall know the truth. One thing I learned here is there is truth. He said, "And ye shall not know a truth." He says, "You shall know the truth." So there's truth, right? According to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is truth. Solomon said, "By the truth, sell it not." Pilate asked this question. He said, "What is truth?" Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ gives the answer to that? What is truth? The answer to that question, Jesus said this. He said, "Thy word is truth." Do y'all understand this morning that the only absolute, infallible truth on this planet down here is the book I'm preaching out of this morning? You understand that? That's the only. The only absolute truth that exists on this planet down here is the Word of God. That's it. Everything else has some kind of problem. The only source of true, absolute, unadulterated truth on this planet, anything, I'm talking about something tangible that I can put my hands on, that I can see with my eyes. The only absolute truth on this planet is the Word of God. But the good news is we have it, right? God has preserved his word, his truth for us down through the years so that now we are not living without hope. Wouldn't it be a sad world? And there are a lot of people, by the way, who live like this. And honest to God, I don't know how they make it. I really don't know how they make it without going insane, which some of them do. But there are a whole lot of people in this world today who believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. They believe truth is just relative, that there's no absolute truth. I can't imagine. Can you imagine in your mind how sad and bleak life would be without the truth of the Bible? Think of all the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and the things you have to go through. You know what pulls us through and gets us through that so many times and gives us hope when it seems like there is no hope? You know what does that, friend? The truth of God's Word. I can't imagine living without truth. I thank God that he hadn't left us without truth. Amen. We got it. And what I see right here is that if I want to have some spiritual freedom in my life, not only must I have the Son of God, I got to have the Scripture. I got to have the truth of God's Word. To be free indeed, which is what we're talking about, we must know the truth. That's what he says. And ye shall know the truth. Here, listen to me now. It's important. He doesn't say if you have the truth. And I do thank God we got it. But you realize just possessing the truth does not give you freedom. You can have a whole library of Bibles. You understand? You can have a Bible on every table in your home. You can have your house built out of Bibles if you want to. But he doesn't say that if you have the truth, you'll be made free. He says if you, what? Know the truth, you'll be made free. There's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference in saying, I got the truth, I got a copy of it. Praise God you got a copy of it. How much of that do you know, though? How much of that book do you know? Your freedom is directly proportionate to how much of this truth you know. I think one reason why some of us struggle as much as we do with certain things is because we don't know things that we need to know, and we have it right here and we can read it and we can learn it, but for whatever reason we don't do it like we ought to. Which, by the way, this is one main reason why the devil works so hard to keep you away from your Bible. Have y'all noticed how he does that? Notice how hard the devil works to keep you from reading your Bible and studying your Bible. He'll just busy up your life. Just fill your life up with all this stuff, make you so busy. And we all are busy, right? We all got stuff to do, or things at least we feel like we got to do. But he'll just busy up your life, and he won't even busy it up necessarily with bad things. He'll just fill it up with all kind of stuff. Maybe it's good stuff, but he just gets your life so filled up with things that you know what you begin doing? You begin neglecting the things that you've got to have in order to live in spiritual freedom. There's Bibles all across this land right now. Maybe, I'm not making any kind of accusations, I'm just throwing this out here as a possibility. There may be Bibles all across this congregation here that just lay at the house after you leave church. And they're there all week long. And you don't ever read it. You don't pick it up. From Sunday to Sunday, you don't pick it up. You wait till you get here on Sunday and just hope Brother Keith can give you all the Bible you need for a week. I can't do it, friend. If that's what you're waiting for, if that's what you think a pastor is all about, you messed up in that. I am to feed you, but you to learn how to feed yourself sometime along the way. Right? I mean, a baby comes in the world, they can't do anything, got to feed them. Amen, got to feed the baby. But now, when that baby gets 18 years old, if Ian and Kristen are still feeding that baby, I'm going to have a problem with that. You understand? Amen, brother. I can feed you. But I can't feed you everything you need. You've got to feed yourself. The devil's going to do everything he can to keep you distracted, to keep you away from the truth, because it's in the truth of God's Word that we find freedom, that we get liberty, that we get victory over things that's going on in our lives. And that brings me to my very last point. Not only must we have the Son and the Scripture, but I want to say thirdly, we need to have steadfastness if we're going to have spiritual freedom. Look at verse number 31 again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, there's that word again, if ye, what is that? Continue in my word. If you stay in it, you know, not just read it every once in a while, stay in it, steadfastness. Doing whatever you got to do to keep the devil from disrupting your prayer life and the time that you need in God's Word so that you can continue, stay in it. Just keep on reading, keep on studying, keep on memorizing, even when it seems like it's doing no good. And I'll be the first to admit, in reading my Bible, for example, there's times I read the Bible and when I get done, honestly, I don't really feel any better. I mean, is that reality? Can we take our halos off a little while this morning and be real about it? Sometimes you read your Bible and you just, especially get over in Chronicles. Ooh. Just name after name. You don't even know how to pronounce them, right? Some of that stuff you read through, it's just kind of laborious. It's hard, and you read a passage, just don't think you get anything out of it, don't seem to feel any better, but you know what you need to keep doing? Just keep on reading. Because if you'll keep on reading, you're going to come across something in there that's going to be a blessing to you. Something will help you. But if you just stop, you just give up. Well, I read it, you know, and it didn't do me no good. Well, just keep on. Continue reading, continue studying, continue memorizing and meditating on the truth of God's Word. Continue putting yourself in a place where you hear the Word of God, which includes being in church when you can so that you can be fed and hear what God has to say. But last of all, it includes obeying God's Word. And let me show you this, and I'm all done. Turn to the book of James, James chapter 1. This continuing in the Word is not just reading, studying, memorizing. It's all that, being faithful to that, but it's also being faithful to obey what it says. It's kind of like this. If you're sick, say you got some kind of sickness, cold, flu, whatever, go to a doctor. You sit down in the doctor's office. He checks you out, examines you. He says, here's what's wrong with you. Now, I'm going to write you out a prescription right here. And you follow the directions and instructions. And take this medicine like you should, and you'll get better. All right, you got it. The doctor told you what to do. You go to the pharmacist. You get the stuff. You get home. But then you start thinking, well, you know, I don't know if he knows what he's talking about. You know, that guy's probably just after my money anyway. And you just put that bottle of pills or whatever he prescribes you off to the side and you don't take it. And guess what? You don't get no better. You just stay sick. You got what you need there. You've been given it, but you won't do what you've been told to do. There's people that want spiritual freedom. And God has told us in the Bible, in His truth, some things we can do to have it. But for whatever reason, we just don't do it. And then wonder why we continue to struggle. Why can't I get free? Why can't I get victory? Why can't I have anything real when you just ignore what you've been told by the great physician? Look right here. James chapter 1, verse number 22. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, like looking in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Here's the verse, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You know what that's talking about? The word of God. And look at what it's called, by the way. We're talking about freedom. What is it called there? The law of what? Liberty. The Bible is the law of liberty, not the law of bondage. These people that talk about how if I get saved and go by the Bible, I can't have fun, I have no freedom. That's wrong. That's what the devil wants you to think. You can't have real freedom until you get saved and get in the law of liberty. That's where freedom is at. But look at it. Here's what he says. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty and, what's that word? That's the word we just looked at back over in John 8. If you continue and continueth therein, here's what he means. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That continuing is, yes, you continue to read, you continue to study, you continue to memorize, but you continue to do what the Bible says. And you will have freedom. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and for the precious Word of God that is absolute truth. Help us, Lord, those of us that are struggling with anything, God, help us to have freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.